Very fancy.
Fantastic.
Detective Ducky reporting for duty.
Detective Duck was in the episode of Gravity Falls we watched last night.
Because my daughter loves Gravity Falls now.
And I haven't watched that in forever.
Because what other ways to screw up our child can we come up with?
Oh, I've got a list.
I mean, look, Hell of a Boss and Has-Been Hotel are really great cartoons.
Yeah, that's a little outside of her range.
Gravity Falls is low on the list of things. I mean, yeah, it's interesting at times, but it's low on the list of things that's probably going to screw somebody up.
She hasn't had any bad dreams.
We also skipped the scary ones.
Oh, yeah.
Well, right, yeah, so you got to do that.
We're already recording. We're just going to trim this part off.
Or not.
Nah, cold open.
Eh, why not?
Okay.
Oh, wait, well, we're online. LOL.
Well, if that's what we're doing, then I suppose we should do this.
Welcome to the FSF Popcast live show.
But we're not really live. We're we're live now, but not live in the live in which you think we're living the live of the live.
Wait, so we're live then, but we're not live now?
No, we're live now, correct. But we're not live then.
When will we be
correct?
When will we be live?
Now.
Now.
Before.
But no, not
technically
then.
Before.
And somehow we just slipped into an episode of Spaceballs.
So it's the live-ish edition?
The live-ish,
it's the live show.
Welcome to the FSF Podcast live show.
This is proof of life show. We are all still here.
This isn't a live show. This is proof of life show. We're still taking in oxygen and breathing, and we've had a few replays over the last couple weeks. Why? Well, John, wearing that adorable ducky shirt, is doing that because he can only lift his arm so far because he had shoulder surgery and was just allowed to come out of his sling.
Yep.
I, too, had shoulder surgery and am not wearing my sling today, although I probably will wear it as soon as we're done with this episode today.
You just didn't to see you were weak. You don't want the internet to see your weaknesses.
Yeah, that would, you know, that's not going to matter. I mean, I do have it. It's right here. Here's my sling. So I do have a sling.
Does yours have the squishy red ball on it too?
It does if I wanted it. I didn't have that part attached to it. When I came out of surgery, they just had just the sling on. They said I didn't need the other portion because the damage was not as extensive as what they feared. So
I kept threatening to replace John's with a squeaky toy.
I said I was going to do that just to confuse. Well, just to confuse the absolute daylights out of our pit bull. Yes, I was thinking about doing that.
I was worried she would have jumped on her. You know, ours would have jumped on me, and that would not have ended well. I'm back in the hospital,
and that's exactly why I didn't do it, because I was afraid that ours, whose name is Mia, Mia has exactly half of a brain cell, just enough to keep her heart pumping and breathing at the same time, and. And if all she would have heard is the squeak, and it would have been like, attack! And I'd be done. So, yeah. There's that.
That's like one of my favorite things to do is when Zoe's not looking, just randomly squeak a squeaky toy. It confuses the snot out of her.
Right?
Just fun.
You know? Because 9 times out of 10, Mia's running around with her ears kind of down. She just, you know, she just kind of lets them flop. But one, even a little bit about the squeak, and those ears go straight up, and she all of a sudden turns into investigative dog Doberman, a deck dog.
I have somewhere over here, Josie, my little adorable dog, ripped out the squeaker of one of her toys, and I found it again, and I kept it in the palm of my hand, and every like 10 minutes just and she would immediately go from dead asleep to just,
where is it? I had one of Zoe's toys. One of Zoe's toys came with an extra squeaker that you could put back into it, and that was how I'd get her if she ran out of our fence. Like, I would just go stand out in the driveway and squeak the squeaky toy, and she'd run back.
Can you imagine how crazy you must look to your neighbors just sitting there in the driveway, just
It worked. And it was funny, though. Then she'd get back and she'd look at me with that, like, oh, no. Oh, she no.
Got me again.
You tricked me. There's no squeaky here.
Well, all right. We could talk about dogs forever, but we actually have some things to talk about, and we lost to Kathleen. She's gone. Okay, bye. But anyway, so today on our live proof of life show, we're going to talk about owies. We already did, kind of. We talked about our owies. We're also going to talk about our favorite on-screen injuries, because that just kind of seems on brand for what everybody's going through right now. And then we're going to talk about shows in the out in there in the ether, such as Bad Batch, X-Men 97. And, of course, John wants to talk about the last episode of Bluey, so we're going to make that happen.
Most recent, it's not the last. They're making more.
I meant
the last aired, but yeah, okay. not the last wait. Last.
Wait, we're talking about like that, the big episode that just came out, or no?
Came out this morning.
Wait, did you not see it?
No.
Oh, okay.
However,
I'll be as spoiler free as I can.
Okay, okay. And in the being spoiler free as well, if you Google Bluey currently, there is an episode called Surprise that's supposed to air April 21st.
Next weekend?
They tricked us!
Mm-hmm.
Surprise! So just hey, before we get into much of anything else, just want to remind everybody that our show is made possible by the support of our show partners. Of course, there is Storylines. They help do all of our shorts, our reels, and all those type of things. And they are an extremely valuable show partner in how they get things done. You'll be able to find a link for them down in the show notes down below. Please go check them out. Then, of course, there is TCTs, where fashion meets fandom. And you can use code FSF15 to get a discount on their website for really cool nerd merch. Of course, Level Up Lightsabers, longtime and our oldest show partner. And we're always happy to partner with them with anything that we can do. Master Allen has been a huge support of our show. And, of course, Monkey Cult Coffee, where you can get some amazing coffee. And their most recent, which is called the Cigar Blend, which is Amaretto and Cognac flavored, which is ridiculously, stupidly, delightfully good. I don't have enough adjectives to describe how good it is. But anyway, use code FSF10 there, and you can get a discount on some ridiculously good boozy coffee. But yeah, that's Monkey Cult Coffee. And all those links will be down in the show notes, down in the below land areas, and you guys can check those out.
I could definitely use some coffee.
Well, yeah, it's like
destroy the illusion. Yeah, well, it's not that early, but to destroy the illusion of I was awake the entire time. I was not awake the entire time. I literally woke up 2 minutes ago for this.
I get that.
I'm here. I'm awake. I promise.
Ben's like pillow. Let's go.
I did the literally. Stupid. I have 45 minutes until we need to record. I can finish this project really fast.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I finished. Barely.
Just minor levels of stress in that process.
You weren't involved. In 20 you're fine. It was 45 minutes. I had twice as much time as I thought I did. So it's fine.
I mean, I set like 10 alarms. I woke up multiple times. And then my wife just kind of turned over in bed and was like, aren't you supposed to be on the podcast now? And I'm like, oh,
oh no!
Moving, I got this, don't worry about
it. And then Mimi just wonderfully slid into your place and stole your warmth.
No, not Mimi, it was Josie, though. The other lady of my life. Very small, floofy one.
As a reminder, we've been working with the Team Trek Against Pancreatic Cancer. That includes Armin Shimmerman, Kitty Swink, Jonathan Frakes, John Billingsley, and Juan Carlos Cotto. We've been very happy to work with them, proud to work with them, and thrilled that they're allowing us to help support such an amazing event. But on April 27th, there is the PanCan Purple Stride Walk. It goes on all across the country. There's going to be one somewhere local to you. Please sign up. Go help show up for support and walk the Purple Stride Walk. And there's also an opportunity for you to donate. There's a link down in the show notes down below. Please donate to that. And every dollar that you donate goes directly to fighting pancreatic cancer, which is still only sitting at a 13% survival rate, which is astronomically low considering how many people are going to get pancreatic cancer this year versus how many people are going to survive. It's very sad. And we want to do all that we can to help support Kitty Swink in her 20th year of surviving pancreatic cancer because she is just that freaking awesome. And we want to help as much as I can, as we can, because Jonathan Franks and John Billingsley and Juan Carlos Cotto also have lost very close family members, loved ones to this horrible disease. So please donate. Every dollar you donate, you know, skip a coffee, skip a cheeseburger, skip a slice of pizza this week. Donate to this event. Help them raise money to fight pancreatic cancer. It would be much, much, much appreciated. And on that note, we'll switch from the serious and go into the silly. So let's start by talking about our favorite on-screen injuries. As soon as this topic was brought up, I immediately went, I know what I'm talking about. So
no. I know what I want to talk about. So let's.
Is it Viggo Mortensen's broken toe? Because everybody should talk about that one.
Nope.
That was definitely up there for me.
I feel like that's like the easy one, and that was the one that I'm like, we have to make sure we talk about that one, because who hasn't done the, when you're introducing Lord of the Rings to somebody else, paused it after he kicked the helmet and done the, did you know?
Now, when you say that, do you mean just introducing them to beginning, or every time you see the movie? Because it's a
every time.
It does it every time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I'm in a room with people who like watch it a million times.
It's not like I drive through a neighborhood and do the. I drywalled that house 25 years ago.
23. Thank you very much.
Anyway. I rounded up for simplicity.
My mother would do the same thing driving through Jersey every time. She'd be like, "Oh, look, look, look." I used to work there. Every time.
My dad, where we live in.
My dad with his sign company does the same thing. It could be a bus that he lettered, a sign that he put up that I helped him install or installed for him. Hey, you know we did that sign? Yeah, I installed it. Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
So anyway,
this is the real injury.
Yeah, this is
the embarrassment.
So these are my boo-boos. But yeah. Yeah, so I'll go first. So I thought of two things immediately. Number one was anything that Chevy Chase has ever done, because he's such an amazingly gifted physical actor, and he does a lot of on-screen injury type things. But that wasn't specific enough. So then I thought, my absolute favorite on-screen injury, and I didn't think of an actual real injury. I thought of something, you know, that was part of the movie. Was Jim Carrey in the movie Liar Liar.
Where oh my gosh.
In the bathroom scene where he's beating himself up and the guy walks in, looks at him, he's like, "What are you doing? I'm kicking my ass. Do you mind?" And he comes back to the court and he's all beat up. He's got a black eye and he just looks all 17 shades of disheveled. His suit's ripped. He starts describing who his assailant was to the judge. 6'2", big teeth, kind of gangly.
John does not appreciate Jim Carrey movies, which is sad.
I don't like him as a comedic actor. Dramatic actor, he's fabulous. I don't like his comedy.
Really?
Really?
I don't. Hang like on, the topic of this completely changed. We have to deep dive into this. What's going on there, buddy?
Don't ask him who hurt him. That's a really long list.
Do you have deep-seated Jim Carrey trauma?
Just when you've seen the same actor.
I'm doing my best Ace Ventura.
And that's the thing. It's like his over-the-top comedy makes perfect sense in The Mask.
Yes.
But not so much anywhere else to me.
Okay, you know? So you Ventura. Can't tell me. Ace Ventura, the scene where he's sitting in the shower with a plunger trying to get the taste of the kiss off of his mouth. You don't laugh at that.
I don't think he's seen it.
I may have walked out before then.
Or in Ace Ventura, Wild Wild, when he gets shot in the thighs.
Yeah, that was funnier. Honestly,
too much.
The funniest scene of like Ace Ventura is when he's running from the darts, where he's like, "I can feel it in my neck."
Okay, so we might need to introduce the tiny human to Ace Ventura.
Oh, please no!
John? Oh, yes.
John, Ace Ventura watching party.
If you watch Cats with Me.
Hang on.
It was nice having John here with us today.
Hang on a minute. Those are not equal. This is not an equivalent exchange.
CGI freak the cat buttholes. It has nothing to do with Ace
Ventura. They removed the buttholes. Thank you very much.
Yes, cats without buttholes. That's even better.
Are you okay, buddy?
And yet Judi Dench still has her wedding ring on the whole time.
Well, I mean, you got to have realism somewhere in a movie about talking, singing cats with buttholes.
No so, buttholes.
Without.
Talking, singing so cats confused. Without buttholes. So in one of the versions of it, they had CGI'd the cat's buttholes. But then they decided that that was too creepy, so they got rid of them.
Well, yeah. Anyway. All right,
so, okay. I have another injury to talk about.
Going back to the cat thing, that is one appropriate use of AI because nobody wants to sit there for that long removing those.
Well, that's true. Make the computers remove the buttholes exactly. for us.
Let us move on to the fun stuff. Make them do the boring work.
Who programs the computer to just have it delete buttholes?
What is the source code that you input into the program? Does it involve the word booty and butthole?
I think it's sphincter.
What is happening right now?
Well, then you run the risk of if somebody makes too much of a kissy face for the AI to think that that's a butthole too.
And gone. Now there's just
major romantic scene and just flat mouth, just nothing there.
Covered with fur. Now they're Deadpool from X-Men Origins, you know, because they got their mouth just.
And we all know how that turned out.
Yeah. If we had rails on this train, we would have gone off them about 10 minutes.
That's why we drive a hover car.
Speaking, going back to the main point of on-screen injuries, character-wise, the absolute comedy of Deadpool 1, where Colossus is just taking the kicks and the punches, and Wade is breaking their legs and their hands on everything.
Your poor wife!
Literally just uppercut into the crotch, just... Literally just... Oh.
Everybody fears the T-Rex.
That guy was there when I showed up.
wonderful addition.
And then the cutting his own hand off and leaving it in the cuff, flipping off Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
Quality family film. It's really a romantic comedy.
I've never seen it.
It. Okay, now we're doing a double feature.
Oh no, I've totally seen it. I was trying to protect myself. I would never
pants on fire.
A horrible movie.
All right, Kathleen, what's your pick?
What's my pick? Oh man,
for on-screen injury.
There's a lot. Honestly, I as I was thinking about it, I'm like, I think I need to go with the original Home Alone.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
Yeah.
I love the whole setup, the whole booby trap. There's so many aspects of pain in that, but it's so much fun.
Yeah, Daniel Stern gets just beat to death in that movie.
I've watched Home Alone so many times. I do not care about any of the injuries until you get to the nail on the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It flashed in my mind, and I immediately like recoiled my foot from the ground.
Although, on that note, in Quiet Place.
Oh yeah, same
steps
thing.
On the nail while she's in labor.
Just that, open mouth, silent scream.
Oh, that moment got me when I watched the movie too.
Yeah, but neither one of those things are painful when you compare that to stepping on a Lego when trying to get your cup of water in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's true. Stepping on a Lego is the worst.
No, it's most definitely not. It is not the enough. Eighth layer of hell. The ninth layer of hell is a metal D4.
Yep. That's why those.
I've dropped one of those and almost stepped on it. Those things are pointy enough to just stab.
Mm-hmm. That's another.
Yeah, that's very much the metal set that I have with the spikes on it, that D4 does not go out of my sight if it's out of the bag. Like, That thing
that'd
is
be awful.
Yeah. I mean, a regular D4 is bad enough, but the metal ones, oh, they're
terrifying.
Yeah. No, but yeah. Suck. So Home Alone and then Quiet Place when Emily Blunt's character is already in labor and then steps on the nail, trying to get down into their bunker so that she can have her baby hiding from the aliens.
I'm very disappointed, by the way. I tried setting you up for an anger management moment about, you know, labor not being painful, and you just totally whiffed right on by it.
Anyway. Honestly, between labor and kidney stones were worse.
Right, because eventually you do the, well, I might want another kid. Nobody ever wants another kidney stone.
Yeah, you got me on that one. I've never had either, well, obviously I've had children, but, you know.
Oh, that would be god awful.
That's why I said I've never had children, but I mean we have children, but I have never had children. I've also never had kidney stones, but neither one of them sounds joyful in my body.
So both were awful, and the epidural failed. But yeah, I would.
So when I mentioned Deadpool, that was just to kind of get us back on track. My actual favorite on-screen injuries are in anime, and more importantly, Dragon Ball Z.
Oh!
Okay.
Starting with just the most classic, Yamcha gets exploded and is just in a crater. Just so many times throughout media, you see someone just, like, curled up into, like, a half ball in a crater. That is a reference to Dragon Ball Z. And during the Android saga, Android 18 kicks Vegeta so hard that it shatters his arm. And through the rest of the series, up until current, every time he takes a little too much damage, he's holding the arm that got destroyed in that one fight. So that injury has never gone away.
No.
All right.
I'm the only anime person here.
You are. But that's okay.
Yeah. We like you anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I've got time. If you have a particular series you think I should dive into, let me know.
Oh, God. There's a list. There's a long list.
Start with One Piece.
And I don't know what she's an anime.
Not allowed to watch anything other than One Piece.
Oof. No. Do not introduce the child to anime, please. Not yet.
Okay. So for me, injuries. The movie Dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Okay.
Chang, Justin Long taking a wrench right off the forehead.
Exactly. One of the funniest things ever. But as far as like most, oh my gosh, what just happened to that guy in The Patriot? I forget which battle scene it is, but there's one guy.
The cannonball?
Yeah, the cannonball to the head, and then his head's just gone. You know.
There's another one where the cannonball takes the leg and you watch the leg go away.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we watched part of The Patriot in my eighth grade history class, my eighth grade U.S. history class. Like, we had to
Bold move, Cotton.
Oh, yeah. We had to have our parents sign the paperwork because it's a rated R movie. And it was we're not going to watch all of it, but they wanted us to see the military lineup. So there's the scene where the military is marching, but that's also then the scene where the guy's head gets blown off by a cannonball. And my history teacher paused it at the exact moment that the cannonball is in place of his head.
Hmm.
And it was I don't think that's where you meant to pause it, but that is beautiful pausing. It's like, yeah.
Hmm.
Nice. Well done, teacher.
He was a pretty cool teacher. He's also the same
teacher that talked
about the Boston Massacre. He's the teacher that when we were talking about the Boston Massacre, and he would wait, because it was during a thunderstorm, and so he would wait to say massacre right as there was thunder.
Nice.
Right as the thunder was rolling?
Yes, he'd like stand by the window and like open the curtain a little bit with the Boston Massacre! It's
good stuff.
All right. Gotta love the theatrics.
I know.
All right, so let's shift over to what the bottom of the screen says we're actually talking about. Let's move on to some of the stuff that's happening in media right now, because we're kind of playing catch up with some of the stuff that we've missed over the last few weeks, and not with surgeries and everything else, not being able to do live shows and So we haven't really talked about season three of The Bad Batch at all. And there's a lot of feels in this season.
Yep.
There's a lot going on. First off, I guess, how's everybody liking the season? What do you think about the season? What do you think about the series? Yada, yada, yada. Thoughts, feelings?
Tears?
Oh, yeah.
How dare you? I love it.
Fair. All across the board, fair.
Yeah. It is very much this is taking a while, but they have a lot of information to fill. Because, yeah. You know, the solution to any problem with Star Wars, Episode 9, is more Star Wars. And if it takes six seasons of television, of Star Wars television in particular, to fix one movie, I'm okay with that. I'm good.
Right.
You know?
I enjoy how they're rebuilding or building up to the explanation of Project Necromancer and how everything's happening. Now, the hard part for me about this series is I love all the characters. And I know
they're not all going to survive.
They're dead. They're all dead. There's no way that they're making it past this.
They never really existed, Tim.
So as much as I want to see Wrecker continue, because Wrecker is my favorite of the Bad Batch, absolutely love Wrecker. He's not going to make it past the final episode.
In the latest episode that came out, I thought that was it for him.
Same. I thought he was done.
I was terrified. I'm like, there's no way this is how they're doing it.
Yeah, I thought he was done. I was watching that, and I was having the same reaction, kind of sitting there, like, you know, with my cup of coffee in the morning.
Please don't kill him.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Wednesday morning?
Yeah. They're going to kill him. He's my favorite. Yeah.
Filoni, no!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But then is Rey Omega's granddaughter or Dr. Kerr's granddaughter, or how's this going to work? This is going to be weird.
Well,
this
is kind of a weird thing is if you look at the flashback in the sequels of like Rey's mom, she has blonde hair. And Omega's about that age.
You're right.
Yeah, that was my thought is like, oh, Omega is probably Rey's mom.
Okay, that works. I'm good with that. Yeah, that's cool.
I thought Mirmir had brown hair, not blonde hair.
If only there was.
I know the dad had.
The dad had blonde hair.
Let me look.
Oh boy,
I might be getting it confused.
Started a thing, but yeah, it's very much the. Oh, wow, that's cool. Well, that explains that over there. Well, that explains that over there. I love that. You know?
I did like the...
blonde hair. Okay. Hold on.
I'm seeing so many pictures that are not of the people that are actually the characters. What is happening?
It happens.
Hold on.
I did like how excited John got every week with the, this is what they did now. I'm like, cool.
When I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch cartoons and she's just 4 more hours of sleep. Yeah.
4, 6, 11.
Several days worth of sleep together.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's Mirmir. That's Rey's mother. So yeah, the hair is blondish for sure. And Omega has blonde hair with darker highlights underneath. So
yeah, okay.
It's
also that's a very dark room, so
yeah, that's not helping anything. But that's about the best picture because she's only shown so slightly in episode 9. It's hard to really get a bead on her and as to how she looks and all those different things to get a good image of her. Most of the images of her in that movie are in darker rooms, darker shaded areas. So.
I could have sworn there was a picture of them in episode 8. Like when they got dropped off.
I don't know.
Let me look.
Yeah, not Also, it might have helped if I spelled the name right. There's an A in there. Mir-a-mir. It's M-I-R-A-M-I-R.
Mew Mew?
This is not what I was... I don't know how well you can see it, but...
Oh.
I would watch that in place.
Lone Star!
I will watch that in place of episode 9. I'll just replace
honestly, episode 9 with baseball. It's a better movie.
It makes more sense.
Okay, so I'll watch Ace Ventura, Tim's going to watch Cats, and you're watching episode 9. You just need one for Ben.
Nah, I'm good.
Ben's like, would you look at the time? I got a thing to never catch.
Oh, hey, would you?
Would you look at my wrist?
So there's a better picture of her with a little bit more highlight in it behind her.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah. So it's, I mean, and again, we have to remember that we're trying to compare a animation to live action, which, as we know, the fans of Kenobi complained greatly about the Grand Inquisitor, that he didn't have a 2-inch wide head. You know,
Star Wars fans are going to complain about everything all the time. It's what we do.
Yes, we are.
That's what we show our love.
All right, so but yeah, so I'm excited to see where the Bad Batch goes. I don't think that anybody, maybe Omega survives. Maybe. I don't think Hunter, Wrecker, Crosshair.
I mean,
none of those guys are going to make it.
Seeing seeing as what they did with Tech, that kind of solidifies that none of them are, like, safe.
Yeah.
Or is Tech the assassin that was sent after them?
No.
That actually captured? No?
No.
No.
So what those assassins, if you go back and rewatch it, what they are other clones, just regular unaltered clones that, you know, got genetically modified later, it appears, to have a little bit more assassin-y type personalities. So like with Crosshair, they did some genetic modifications to him afterwards, after they took out the thing in the head.
The chip? You know, he took that
thank
out.
Thank you. No, Crosshair did it. They did.
No, Crosshair took the chip out. The people, the scientists, were trying to increase the effectiveness of the chip. So that's what I think the assassins are. They're regular clones that are captured, and that chip is now like all at 1,000%.
Okay. So they're just normal clones. They're not because they've already killed one of the clones. Well, he killed himself, really. Yeah. They caught him, and then he bit the thing in his mouth to electrify himself. When they took his helmet off, he just looked like, you know, every other clone that was made during the Clone Wars. So didn't have anything special. So I don't think Tech is going to be one of those.
Okay.
No.
By the way, the actress who plays Rey's mom is also the actress who is the lead character female in Free Guy.
Yeah, Julie Cormer.
Yeah, Jody. She's awesome.
Jody, I'm sorry. You're right. Jody Cormer.
Which then cycles back to the in on-screen injuries, because Free Guy has a bunch of them.
Yes, it does.
I should watch it.
Okay. All right.
I do want to point out another thing with the assassin guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
It hasn't been explicitly mentioned, but it's I'm pretty sure about it that Crosshair was the one that trained all of them.
Oh, it does appear that way. Yes, because
I mean they have basically his setup. Yeah.
Right. Well, even that, and when they start talking about it, Crosshair is kind of being able to give a little bit more information about these guys and everything else. He's able to provide a little bit more detail about who and what they are. So I would agree with that.
I'm also just thinking, like, their equipment looks pretty much the same. How they fight looks about the same.
Yeah.
So during his time when he was in the Empire, did that, like, machine kind of take his memories and experiences and put them in these clones, or did he like actively train this clone unit prior to the Empire? Because this was all happening long before the Empire started.
I would like to think it's a bit of both, because we have time gaps in episodes of things happening. So during those time gaps, And especially while he was down recuperating from other injuries, he would have been able to train and pass his information on to other people. And so there's that, there's one of those time gaps where he was not out doing other things. And we, all we see is the rest of the Bad Batch doing stuff, but we don't see anything with Crosshair. So it would be possible. And that would be one of those scenarios where everything in Star Wars is solved by more Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So
it's a brilliant method.
It is a brilliant method. It's ingenious marketing.
It is.
You don't know the answer to that? Hold on. We're making a new show.
Right. Because like, if we just meet somebody, right, randomly, we know the last 15 minutes of their life, maybe. There's 30 years that, right, we don't know.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so when somebody's like, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, you just don't know the backstory.
It's exactly.
Great. Love it. And then I have to buy more stuff, watch more TV, play more games.
Oh, I am.
And then they introduce five more characters that you got to learn the backstory of. So that's five more movies or series and infinite money.
I am curious to see what's going to happen with Emery Carr, because the doctor with the headpiece thing on, you know, who's Omega's older sister. I am curious to see what happens with her, because she looks like she's breaking. Like, she's being around all these kids and seeing what's going on with them, and then looking what's happening with Omega, and she knows what's going to happen. I feel like she knows. And so she's getting access to other things. So I think that I'm thinking in the last couple episodes that she is going to try to break Omega out and probably get killed in the process. That's my thought. I don't think
either that she's surprised. Either that or she makes a decision when the Bad Batch are there to let them go.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I want to know what happens. You have to say, Hemlock.
Hemlock is probably going to survive. Knowing him, he's going to survive. But I was going to say, we don't actually know if Emery is older. She's just taller. We know Omega is the only unaltered clone. So
they said in one of the previous episodes, you're going to have to go back and rewatch it. I don't remember which one it is. But it's at the end of season two when she talks to Omega for the first time. She talks about how that I was you before you, basically. There's a couple sentence gap in there where they're talking, and she says something to the effect of, I'm your sister and I was you before there was you. Like, she was the first attempt at being Omega, and something happened and it didn't take. So, and now there's Omega and... So,
I have to rewatch a series. Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh,
but then that also proves how long this project has been going on. That, like, Emery's a fully grown person,
right? But did she have? Well, she may have had growth modification like the rest of the clones. She never said that she was unaltered. She just said that she was Omega's older sister. That she was made before Omega.
True. She could be like, Rex at the beginning of Clone Wars was like 4 or 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So Emery could be plus 2 months older than Omega.
I'm still curious, you know, especially because we've seen the Zilla monster come back in the series, because that's a callback to the Clone Wars and Palpatine's original interest now and getting cloning back underneath the Empire's jurisdiction. I'm curious to see if we're going to see something more with that, because there's never really been a pure or clear, concise explanation as to what the Zilla monster does, how it helps the Empire, why they're keeping one in-house, what it has to do with cloning potential and everything else. So I'm still very curious as to that. Maybe I've missed it, but I don't recall there ever being an explanation as to why there was a Zilla monster.
Well, that's all super secret stuff from Palpatine, but the theory is it's a threat that they could drop on a planet and make the Empire look good by solving the problem. Also, their scales are lightsaber resistant. Can't have another Jedi uprising when all of your soldiers are in lightsaber-proof armor. So even if they don't clone it specifically to make the Zillow Beast, they can clone the armor plating.
Gotcha. Okay.
Cool.
Well, that answers
my question. Also absorb, like, electrical energy, so they can use it to just, if there's some kind of rebel base or whatever that has a power source, they could drop effectively a roaming nuke on it.
Right.
So okay. It does a whole bunch of stuff that they could work with.
A lot of potential there. All right. Any other thoughts on Bad Batch before we move on?
The most recent episode, I was going to cry.
Yeah.
It was a tough
one. Just everything going wrong.
Yeah.
You could feel record
died.
Feel the tension building.
They kept rolling forward.
Especially right at the end when Crosshair misses the shot. Yeah. I'm just like, no, that's it. No, that's it. What happened? What do you mean he missed?
I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that hand isn't what it was. He's shaking too much.
Well, he was also getting shot at by like 20 stormtroopers, so.
Yeah.
True.
I would be shaking too.
Yep. Definitely a penalty for the role.
All right, let's move on to X-Men 97 then. Speaking of emotions and problems, and I needed Kleenex to watch an episode.
Just
X-Men 97 was rough. The first few episodes were really, really good.
Oh yeah,
I'm loving the story. I love the writing. It feels like I'm watching X-Men the animated series from the 90s. It feels like you turned off one episode and you turned on the next and it just picked right up. And
yeah,
I mean, it's been beautiful. The animation's great. The storyline is great. The
hearing those voices again was just like,
nobody says Bug like Cal Dodd. Nobody.
Oh, I know. Right.
Yeah.
But episode 5.
That was hard.
Mm-hmm. That caught me in the feels here.
Mostly down here.
Not
here,
just really.
Here. I could keep going, but yeah, I found all the feels and that's a rough episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sitting there like at the end of the episode and just like looking at my reflection in the screen with the what the heck?
What the heck did I just watch?
Yeah.
What did you just do? Yeah.
Why is my face wet?
It just that last line from Rogue. Just I can't feel you. I'm just like
yeah.
Especially since that's also a callback to Endgame or Infinity War, sorry.
Yeah.
I can't feel you.
But then also it also reminded me of Storm saying that she couldn't feel the breeze, she couldn't feel the moisture. You know, what else are we not going to feel by the end of the season?
Ugh. Just the whole thing. And the fact that they had Cable show up and...
I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
That whole bit. The fact that they finally brought in Madeline Pryor to any form of media outside of comics is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Her whole arc in the comics is really wonky.
Yeah.
Which, I have another thing with that. Scott Summers is a garbage human being.
Yeah.
Really?
Especially in the comics. Like, they're doing better with this, like, in the show, of him being like, oh, well, he was with Madeline, who was technically Jean. It's confusing. That makes sense. In the comics, they own a house together. They have kids together. Jean Grey, like the actual Jean Grey, pops back up, and Scott just goes, "Bye," and goes back to Jean.
Yeah, okay.
Just leaves, goes to get milk, and never comes back.
Ouch!
Go to the store. Yeah. You need anything?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
But I do like how they brought Cable back in, and immediately was just like, "Your eyes," and it's like. It took a second for me to go, oh, yeah, Cable is Nathan Summers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's who he is.
Right.
Because everyone just calls him Cable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think if I was Scott Summers' kid, I would just want to be called Cable, too. So.
I mean, all of his kids have something horrible going on. It's like Cable is in the worst possible history. You have, what's her name? Hope, who kind of gets half taken over by the Phoenix Force again.
It's a family I don't want to be in.
It's not as bad as Magneto's family, but, you know, it's
still... Oh, too soon. It's only been 80 years. Too soon.
I didn't mean family, but rough. Okay.
Yeah. To which degree are we referring to? Because there's a lot of ways you could take that.
I was thinking the family referred to in the episodes. You know, that's.
I was not referring to his family, childhood family. I meant to the family that he spawned and made progeny of. Yeah. Mm.
Well, that gets more confusing because if we're going comic-wise, they're actually not.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of ruined a lot of those stories, but...
Those storylines are just...
They're doing their own thing.
Very wibbly-wobbly.
Wiggly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
So. Yeah. Anyway, back to the episode. The fact that Rogue kind of put it together of like, no, I want to stay with Gambit after making out with Magneto and then leaving only for all of it to go wrong.
So horribly wrong.
It is funny. We were looking at just like X-Men memes and everything, and we kind of got spoiled because we saw All I Want is a Gambit-centered episode. Next day, I can't believe I got a Gambit-centered episode.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how he went out, though, was badass.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Episode 6 is supposed to air next week.
He better be back. That's all I got to say.
Theoretically, it's supposed to air next week.
If they killed off Gambit for good, I'm going to be so pissed because I love Gambit. And I don't get enough Gambit. And Gambit's cool. I don't care what you say.
Okay, he's cool, but he's always been a sleazeball.
Not in the X-Men animated. He's always been a stand-up guy.
Okay. In comic books, he has his moments of sleazeballiness.
Not really. He's a criminal, but I wouldn't call him a sleaze. Because throughout the comics, he's always been just for Rogue. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm still
Brian Pace, to an extent.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be ticked if he is dead for good, or if that was just a cliffhanger if that was a cliffhanger that they were just putting us on to make us feel the things to do, you know, to get us to come back, you know. Then that, you know, that sucks, but I get what they're doing. If they killed him off to kill him off.
I don't think emotions. He's coming back. I don't think he's coming back.
But thinking back, we don't see a body. Well, we do see a body. We don't see. Sorry. It's been a weird couple of weeks.
Well, they got vaporized.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Magneto gets vaporized. Him and a group of young mutants. Like
which,
just barely a teenager clinging to Magneto.
He tells him,
don't be afraid.
Yeah. If it hadn't been for Leech being in that group, he would have been able to protect them. Because Leech's power is that he drains other mutants' abilities.
So Magneto, I don't think that was the problem. I think it was the focused nuclear blast directed specifically at Magneto.
From the Super Sentinel. Yeah.
6 of 1, half a dozen of another.
Now,
I don't know. The next couple of weeks episodes are going to be very interesting building off of this episode, seeing, you know, who's actually dead, who's actually not dead, and if they can explain the vaporizations or death / reappearances. Because I think some of these guys, Magneto, even, you know, vaporized, but I don't think he's dead. He's going to come back somewhere, somehow.
I mean, the rule used to be that only Bucky and Uncle Ben stayed dead, and then Bucky came back. So,
yeah,
anything's possible.
And I still live and die by the saying of no body, no death. So,
even then, sometimes,
and also, of course, it's disintegration.
Even then,
exactly. Even then, all right.
My thing,
yeah.
What's going on with Storm?
Ooh,
Yeah. Everyone kind of glosses over that and focuses on what happened with Gambit. Storm's got a whole thing going on right now.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be tricky.
I don't remember this storyline from the comics, but apparently this was a thing. There was a Storm and Forge storyline that came through where Storm lost her powers and Forge helps her rediscover them. And that's apparently what they're doing. They're running that storyline for Storm and Forge. Mm-hmm. But that's all I know. I can't tell you anything more about it than other than what I've read up on, because I want to know the same thing. What's going on with Storm? Why is she the only one to lose her powers? What's going on? How is she going to get him back? Or is she just going to be a stormless Storm?
I know that posturing over there.
Uh-huh. You'll find out. It'll be fun. We'll revisit
He's over here with the excited, like, hands clenched.
the DM, I know something you don't know.
Yep.
Look.
Yeah.
I know something you don't know.
While you were all,
like, I know I've going read to
party stuff. I was stuck at home reading comic books, and yeah.
I know I've read parts of that story, but I just don't know how they're going to adapt it for the show.
That'll be interesting. Yes.
Yeah. But I love what's going on with that, and I'm just terrified of just that whole situation. Is terrifying. Just the cryptid walking into the house.
Yeah.
Because they were mentioning earlier on, Storm was just like, oh, the wind is always blowing to the east. This owl is always flying by. And then she tries to run, falls through the ceiling of the house. The house rebuilds. So I think they're just in a big, like, wibbly-wobbly time loop or something like that. We're just in an alternate reality situation.
Something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. We'll go with that for now.
All right.
Thanks.
Fair enough. All right. So, Bluey.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Emotional damage.
No, as much damage as was done to me with Star Wars and X-Men this week, I feel so much better after watching this episode. Ben hasn't seen it yet because... You know, you woke up 2 minutes before you're supposed to be here, so I'm not going to spoil it, but they tied everything together so beautifully.
There's so many happy wrapped up storylines.
Yes.
The last thing I saw was Ghost Basket, so I know they're moving, which was so, like, it's a kid's show. Every kid's show needs a moving episode.
Yeah.
To just get that over with.
Uh-huh.
But the whole thing with Ghost Basket, and then they're like, oh, it's so cute, I can't do this every time, and they zoom out to the front of the house. I'm like, no, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Can't do this to us!
Yeah.
I do love the Doctor Who reference, though. Where Chili walks up to the front and is like, it's a little small, and Bandit's like, it's bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Because it is.
Yeah.
It is.
In the show, the house is like, but then there's like, an unnecessary amount of rooms that don't connect in ways that they should.
Oh, so
their house is a TARDIS. Yeah, I know. It makes no sense how their house is built.
Right. And, like, I'm trying to figure out how does this work. But, like, you can go through the whole house now, and it almost makes sense.
Except for the fact that it's apparently got four bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But where are all of them?
Because you can only see one.
Right, you only ever see the one bathroom. But then that bathroom, the toilet is in a separate room. So are they counting that as two then? Or is that still just one?
But I like the idea of the toilet being away from where I'm showering. Because, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, but in
one of
the episodes, there was a toilet in the laundry room.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right.
It was the one where Bandit peed on his foot.
That's true.
I wish I could say this was the grossest thing I've caught him doing, but.
But yeah, there are a lot of storylines that get wrapped in this one.
I can see why people would think it was like a series finale.
But it's not. They've said so.
And apparently there's another episode coming out.
Next week?
Yeah, Sunday, 21st.
So. All right.
So scared. I know it's going to be wholesome and loving, and it's going to be so great.
Oh, dude.
There's a lot.
So many feels.
There were a lot of moments with Bandit and Chili that John and I are watching it this morning, and I'm like, oh, how would we handle that? How do you? Oh no!
And you've walked out of the room when I said something stupid like that before. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But then there's also so much more with Muffin and Socks this time too.
Oh my gosh,
Muffin and Socks. Yeah.
Socks.
And is up walking like the rest of them. She's not crawling around like a puppy anymore. So
I do find it weird the lack of continuity between Socks just looking like a dog and then the flashbacks to like baby Bluey.
I know, right?
But she looks like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I find it kind of weird.
It is funny. But yeah, no, and then so it's not even a spoiler, but at one point in the episode, Bluey gets to ride in the front seat of the car, and that is the most adorable, like, she's so stinking excited, and she finds out that there's a glove box, and there's an entire book about the car, and the front seat's the best!
Oh, and the car has a name?
Yes.
I didn't know other people named their vehicles, I thought it was just the weirdo I married.
What's the name of the car?
Bobo.
Huh.
He was Bobo.
And then Bluey's super excited because she has a cup holder too. Like, it's just the pure childhood excitement about I get to be in the front seat and I have a cup holder. It's like,
yeah,
I love it so nice. Much.
Oh yeah.
All right. We lost Kathleen again. She keeps leaving. She doesn't like us. Well, we don't have proof of life for Kathleen anymore, so I guess we'll just keep moving on.
We don't have a body, therefore she's alive.
Trying to...
No body, no death.
Trying to maintain some of the privacy of the tiny human.
Aha!
Yes.
Understood. Please do.
Which means I'm probably going to Bluey again.
Oh, darn!
Shucky darn it. Yep. You have to watch more TV.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
do much anything else for the last 2 weeks.
We've got a few things coming up that we just need to hit on real quick. Some shows that are recently released, and shows that will be coming out here in the near future that are going to require our paying attention to. Now, not on the list that I put into the document was Fallout 76. Should have included that. That just came out. I have not started watching that yet.
John watched the first episode without me this morning.
You wanted to sleep.
How dare you?
Although I did see a meme that is already making me happy.
Okay.
See if I can find it.
Well, while you're looking for that, John, out of five ray guns, how many ray guns would you give this series? The first episode.
Off the first episode, 5.
Okay.
They lean into everything. There's a bit that almost sounds like character creation in the game. You know, that they have Raiders and Brotherhood of Steel and a ghoul and all stuff that you've seen in the trailer. I'm not spoiling anything. But yeah, the first episode is
phenomenal. If Tim can share the meme, possibly, because the internet...
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. But yeah. I saw this earlier as well. The Halo
fans. Yep.
Yeah. We're not talking about that.
As much as I loved Last of Us, I am excited to see where Fallout goes with it.
To be fair, though, the Halo show had a very, very simple premise that they went, no.
Yeah.
Just don't take off the helmet. Yeah. Make Master Chief voiced by the same guy in the games.
Yep.
Yeah, it should have been Steve Downs.
How do you mess that up?
Really easy. You get a different actor and have him take off his helmet.
Yeah, it's like there are two rules of Halo, and you said no to both of them.
Yeah. Right. I know that. So a couple of my good friends are really big Halo fans, and although they like the series, they have some definite issues with how the story is being told, how things are happening in the show. And it's just like, it's cool to see Halo on screen, but it's not Halo. It's Halo-esque.
Yeah. If I want to watch a Halo series, I'm going to watch Red versus Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough.
Or the Halo movies that they made, like the fan-made ones, which are beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. But so
I mean, they easily could have made this like an ODST show and had all the same premise and all the same plot. Would have been fine. You just wouldn't have had, you know, Master Chief.
All right, so but with Fallout 76, do you need to have a background in the video games to watch the show?
No, they explain it pretty well from the beginning.
Perfect. That's even better. Because I've played a few of the Fallout games in the past. I wouldn't say that I'm well versed in the Fallout lore, although the show looks super interesting, so I did want to check it out. So yeah. I'm excited for that. All right, another one upcoming is we have a couple Star Wars entries. Of course, there is, because we need other things explained in Star Wars, so we're getting more Star Wars. And that is, first off, Tales of the Empire. That's coming up here shortly on May the 4th. That gets released. That's going to be the replacement or second series of Tales of the Jedi, but this is Tales of the Empire focusing. And oh my God, that cat's adorable. Yeah. Little Bowser Jr. being adorbs. Yeah, they all are. They have their adorable moments. But that focuses on Morgan Elsbeth that we met in The Mandalorian and saw her in Ahsoka series and figuring out how she came to be from being a Night Sister to being lined up with Grand Admiral Thrawn. So I'm looking forward to that, but I'm more so looking forward to the story of Barriss Offee, because there is so much that her story in Clone Wars just comes to a screeching halt and then you never hear another thing about her. And so I'm very excited to see what they do with her.
Stop it.
And
what?
I'm say. She's what? Marok. She's Marok. Seventh. She's going to be the fourth sister, and it'll end up being Marok. Yeah.
She's going to be the green fart guy.
The green fart guy. Yeah.
Our dog was green fart last night.
Oof.
She slept in the living room last night. I wouldn't let her in our room.
I've said that since Ahsoka came out, and I will keep saying that until I'm disproven. And, you know, she's Barriss Offee is Marok. And maybe Tales of the Jedi, or not Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire will correct that, and I won't, that theory of mine will no longer be plausible, but we'll see. Because we need to have an explanation as to who Marok was, because clearly Marok was an Inquisitor with, from what I felt, was a more feminine form. So, and the fact that there was instant fighting between Marok and Ahsoka when they met up. It wasn't even just like trying to get away. It was instant fighting. Tells me that there was, you know, with the history of Ahsoka and Barriss, that would make sense to me. So anyway, other show news. We also have The Acolyte coming up here shortly. And I am so looking forward to a Sith-centered story in Star Wars, because this is far overdue. And yeah, it's also difficult to say Sith. It's difficult to say Sith centered story four times fast. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You end up saying other things. Ask me how I know.
But how do you know?
I practiced it and I failed. Anyway, yeah, but I'm very much looking forward to the Acolyte series. I like the fact that we have potential of story from people who were, it was written by people who do not have a deep Star Wars background, and they're writing from a position of new knowledge, new information, and not trying to, I don't think that this is going to be a series that's made to appease the fans. I think this is a series that is going to be informational and going to be foundational. This is going to be foundation for the High Republic moving forward.
I want to watch Star Wars. You want to watch Star Wars, Bowser? You sure do.
Good cat. Smart kitty.
The cat has spoken.
We've been inside for too long.
Johnny, go back to work.
And then two other, a little bit of Star Trek news that hit yesterday, I think it was. Maybe on Friday. But Strange New Worlds, even though season 3 hasn't come out yet, has already been greenlit for season 4. That just happened. So I'm looking forward to that, because I absolutely love Strange New Worlds. And also, the thing that saddens me is that this upcoming season for Lower Decks will be its final season. They will be done. which makes no sense to me because that show is just absolutely fantastic.
That's the only Trek I can get Honor to watch.
It's yeah. like the best thing they've made in a very long time, and they're like, cancel it.
Yep. Yeah, they're shutting it down.
They're taking notes from WB.
What? We have a popular show that everybody loves? Let's stop it. We can't have that now, can we?
Let's do it.
So that's kind of how this one's feeling right now. Is that it's so.
Anyway,
sorry, just a little.
He is the quietest cat. This is like the most he ever meows, and it's just because he's getting annoyed with me for playing with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
But not annoyed enough that he's trying to get away.
Right. I see this. All right, so let's talk. We got just a couple quick updates. Kathleen, can you do that, or are your hands too full to?
I never found a document.
Neither did I.
Okay, fine, I'll do it. All right, so last Friday.
I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it.
Well, you know what? I'm lazy, so we're just going to do it this way because, I uploaded this just in case. This was released last Friday.
Hi, this is Casper Van Dien, and you're listening to FSF Podcast. You know what to do! Kill them all! With kindness and love.
It's the with kindness and love part that gets me every
time. Killing people with kindness is really taking far longer than I thought it would.
It did. But we talked with Casper, of course, about Starship Troopers, which is where both of those quotes came from in that intro. We talked about Alita Battle Angel, Sleepy Hollow. We talked about Con Man, Salvage Marines. We talked about his wife, Jennifer Wenger, and her cosplay and modeling for different Wonder Woman model things and all that type of stuff. Anyway, that's out now. You can listen to that and watch that here on our YouTube channel, or of course on your favorite audio podcast provider. And if you've watched that episode, exactly. And as you watch that, you may notice we have a guest host, and of course is Sean Vest, aka Captain Rex, the very first guest that we ever had here on the FSF podcast. And that was only like 180 episodes ago. Only.
So we're coming up on 200 this year.
Well, you broke up. What was that?
We're coming up on episode 200 this year, then.
We are, yeah. By my math, and that should never be trusted because I'm horrible at that. Yeah. I take off my shoes to count. But anyway,
yay, public
from what I can tell, exactly. From what I can tell, we're probably going to be hitting episode 200 somewhere in the mid to late August area, from what I can tell. So we're going to have something special. We don't know what it is yet, but we're going to do something special for that. But until then, you can also think about what's coming up this upcoming Friday. And this is one that I've been very excited about. I've been waiting for this to happen since November of last year. He and I played voicemail tag, email tag, all these different ways to miss the interview between what he had going on in his life. Yeah, and then our life was happening, and then life happened, and all these things. Anyway, I sold you all that to show you this. Maybe. If the button works.
Okay, hi, now. This is Bill Farmer, and you're listening to the FSF Podcast.
That's right. Disney legend, iconic voice actor, Bill Farmer, the voice of Pluto and Goofy, joins us to talk about his career voicing those characters, how he went from being an open mic night in somewhere in Texas to being Goofy. Oh, and he started off on an open mic night, and Bill Engvall told him to go to Hollywood to try out, do some voices. It's amazing how Blue Collar Comedy Tour ties into all of this, but it's a really interesting conversation. But he also tells some very heartfelt stories about meeting people at Comic Cons, and someone was cutting onions to the off to the side of the camera, and got me a little bit, got Bill a little bit too. But it's a really cool conversation with Bill. Not to mention that Bill was cool enough to do this for my grandson Lucas, who's not old enough to know who Goofy is yet. But when he is, I'm going to play him this.
Gorge. Howdy, Lucas. This is your old pal, Goofy. And me, Bill Farmer. I just talk like Goofy, but if he was here, I know he'd say, howdy.
Still love that. I think that's fantastic.
There's onions in here now, too.
Oh, sweet.
John, where did you find the onion?
They're in the kitchen.
Isn't I need that to cool keep an onion awesome just off screen for stuff like this.
I know. But anyway, if you don't want to wait till Friday for that to release on our normal public channels, that will be on our Patreon channel. Go ahead and go search us. That link, either the link down below. We have 5 different levels of subscription. And if you want to see the behind-the-scenes stuff with Bill, well, then you're going to have to join on our Patreon channel as well. Lots of cool stuff. But yeah, so that's it, guys. That's the live proof of life show for today. Any final thoughts before we say goodbye, hang up, and
pretend go on our merry ways?
Yeah.
Everyone in Bad Batch is going to die. Everyone in X-Men is going to die. I'm going to cry horribly.
All right. Ben is no longer in charge of pep talks. Anyway.
No, but he's in charge of reality talk. We start feeling a little too proud of ourselves over here. We need Ben to knock us back down to reality. Everybody right, knows that's going to die. Thanks, life Ben. Is sad. Prison is sad. Life in prison is very, very sad. I want to go watch Mario again.
Oh, please, no. I can only handle vaguely Italian Chris Pratt so much.
Oh, but Lumily makes it worth it.
That I have yet to actually see that movie, but from what everyone said, all the other characters are so much better than the one that the movie's named after.
Yep.
And
yep.
I find that insulting.
Yeah, but I think that there's enough, at least from me watching it, there's enough of all of the other characters that I don't hate it. Because Jack Black as Bowser is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Peaches, 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 peaches. All right, before I get going on that, I'm going to play this because I really got to pee and we need to get done. Okay, bye-bye.
Copyright 2024 FSF Podcast. Reference any specific product or entity mentioned on this podcast does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by FSF Podcast. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact us via email at info@fsfpodcast.com.